into the world of Rabbi Nachman's private practices. Sichas Aran Os Memches. Siper harbe me'inyin godol hayira v'akadusha, shahayo lo bialduso, shayezariz v'kadosh mo'ot. Rabbi Nachman spoke a lot about his levels of yira, kedusha, of sanctity, that he took upon himself in his younger years. Now let's keep in mind, his younger years were more or less his whole life, because he didn't make it past the age of 40. But he's talking about specifically when he was a child. As a child, Rabbi Nachman took upon himself certain stringencies for Yiras Hashem, for Kedusha. He was Zariz, V'Kadosh Ma'od. He was a very fiery young person. And he took upon himself many stringencies of personal sanctity. But the problem is, when a person is striving for really high levels, it's also easy to, you know, the higher you climb, so to speak, the harder you fall. So Rabbi Nachman also had to figure out a way to make sure that as he was striving to be on this super high level at a very young age, which later he would encourage people not to take on so many stringencies and to try to be a little more, I guess, balanced and normal, and not to always look for chumras. He spoke very negatively about chumras, even though he himself had a lot of very intense stringencies in his younger years. But Rabbi Nachman said, what would happen if I messed up? So I took upon myself to be extra zariz, extra careful about something. So what would happen when he would mess up? You see where it's bolded? He would say, Rabbi Nachman told us that he would start many times a day. He would start over sometimes within one given day, many, many times. This is a tremendous technique in Avodas Hashem. People sometimes think, when the day gets off to a bad start, I got up late, I missed davening, I messed up on something I was being careful about. Okay, better luck tomorrow. So today is just going to be an Avera-filled day, and we'll pick up fresh tomorrow. Or a person takes on the attitude, I'll start, I don't know, next year. This year's not happening so much. Okay, we'll get to Rosh Hashanah, we'll push through to Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and then we'll start fresh. Or a kid in high school who says, well, I'm waiting to Israel to start really thinking about my Yiddishkeit. People make these very arbitrary checkpoints of where that's going to be sort of that permission to start fresh. Rabbi Nachman says, who says? If you messed up, you can hit the reset button right now on the day. Right now. You had a bad davening this morning. You were late to davening this morning. Right? Or whatever happened. So Rabbi Nachman says, good, so just pause for a second and start over. And Rabbi Nachman would start from the beginning many times a day. He would create his own beginnings. Haynu shaya maschil yos ish kosher. He said, from this point forward, I'm going to be an ish kosher. I'm going to be a good Jew. I said last night that I'm going to do that from the time I wake up, and I already messed up. Okay, good, so I'll start again. All right, pause for a second, hit the reset button. From this point forward, I'm going to be a great Jew. And he'd mechazik himself, and now he'd pick himself up. Shemi'ata yavod es Hashem yisbarach, v'achar kach bo'os v'yom atzmo nafal, that from this point forward, from now, I'm going to serve Hashem properly, and then later in the day, he would stumble in something. V'nafal l'taivas achila v'kiyotze, he had very intense stringencies with regard to his eating. So a person gives in to a temptation with regard to food. I'm not eating to strengthen my body, I'm not eating l'shem shemayim, I mumbled through my bracha. I let the food be more in charge of me than me being in charge of the food. But okay, so after lunch, I start fresh. I ate like an animal during lunch. That doesn't make me an animal. I'm still a yid. So I push the reset button. From this point forward, I'm a little more thoughtful about how I eat and how I speak and what I do and where I look. That he would start again from that same day. He'd start again. From that moment forward, I'm going to be a good Jew, an erlich yid. V'nafal, and then he would fall again. Something would happen. V'chazer v'hischel nechadosh, and he would start again. So you could say this is a silly psychological trick that you're playing with yourself. That's one way to look at it. Or you could say this is a really deep eitzah in Avodas Hashem. I once heard of Avram Shor. He came to Tinach many years ago, and he spoke. And one of the things that he said, which resonated with me so strongly, where Avram Shor said, people sometimes convince themselves that they're not worthy of serving Hashem. So I did a big avera, and now I've lost my right to serve Hashem. I did a big avera, so who am I afterwards to go daven? Who am I to put on tefillin? Who am I to learn Torah? I did such a big avera. So Rav Avram Shor said, are you really ever worthy of putting on tefillin? Do we feel that we're... meaning normally I'm worthy, but today I did a leveira, so now I don't feel comfortable putting tefillin on. Or normally, of course I deserve to study God's Torah. But today, because I spoke Lashon Hara, so how could I use those same lips to now learn Torah? As if under normal circumstances, you deserve to learn Torah? We don't deserve to ever learn Torah. It's totally beyond us. We don't deserve to ever wear tefillin, even if our body goes to the mikveh every single morning. So we're never worthy. But turn that around, flip it around. Okay, so if I'm never worthy, so Hashem says, wear tefillin. Hashem says, learn Torah. Hashem says, keep Shabbos. So don't psych yourself out and say, well, based on what I did, I don't have a right. Start over. A Jew has to know how to start over. Rabbi Nachman used this many, many times a day to enable himself to draw close to Hashem. וכבר שמענו ממנו כמה פעמים שהיו לו כמה השחלות שבכל פעם הסחיל מחודש לעבוד את השם. And Rabbi Nachman spoke a lot about this over and over, starting fresh to serve Hashem. Okay, second paragraph. וזהו כלל גדול מאוד בעבוד את השם, לבל יניח עצמו ליפול חס ושלום. This is an unbelievable way to break the downward trajectory of one's life. Sometimes a person slips, and avera gereres avera, and one avera leads to the next avera. And one bad choice leads to another bad choice. And what I was once particular about, well, since I messed up with that, so it's not such a stretch anymore to mess up with that. And if I messed up with that, it's not such a stretch to mess up with that. The idea of starting fresh is a way of a person slamming on the brakes to make sure that the averos don't become compounded. By slamming on the brakes, I say, okay, that was an aberration. That was a yotze min haklal. That was an exception to the rule. I'm not going to say, oh, this is the beginning of a pattern of really bad choices. So again, the idea behind this, the klal gadol ma'od b'avodas Hashem, this great principle of avodas Hashem, is that it stops a person from sliding. Machmas shenafal me'ez avoda mitfila b'kavana, he messed up with a particular mitzvah, or he messed up with a particular davening. O shenafal l'makum shenafal chas v'shalom, where he fell, wherever he fell, it could be a very dark and low place. Im kol zeh, yechazek es atzmo, strengthen yourself, b'chol ha'efshar, declare yourself, from this moment forward, I'm going to be a good Jew. And that way it's not a pattern of negativity. At least you break up, so to speak, the negative choices that we sometimes make, unfortunately. But it doesn't become a pattern, because even if I did something bad, well, right afterwards I made a commitment to serve God. And I did serve God. Okay, maybe an hour later I messed up again. But again, the averos are not back to back. They're not compounded. They're separated by a commitment to be a better Jew. Even if it happens again and again. You fall time and time again from the service of Hashem. Challenge yourself to start again, to start fresh over and over. And without this technique, it's impossible to ever become an Erlich Yid. Because you're just going to feel so weighed down by your averos. You know the first person to teach this? Wasn't Rabbi Nachman. You know who it was? God. When did God teach this? Where did God teach this in Bereishis, Velvel? Beis Reishis. Okay, very good. So we learned in Yismach Yisrael that Beis Reishis, right? There's two starting points. They're starting off fresh, and then they're starting fresh. That's stuff. Beautiful. Wasn't the last night I was thinking of that. Right now I wasn't thinking of that. Kayin and Hevel. What does Hashem say to Kayin? What does Hashem say to Kayin? Try again. Why do you look so depressed? You tried to bring a carbon. You tried to be close to God. And then you messed up. Didn't work. So what does Hashem say to Kayin? Explicit pasuk in the Chumash. Start again. Hashem says, start again. Try again. And what's going to happen if you don't try again? What's going to happen if you allow this negative moment to define you? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Kayin, Halo im teitiv se'es. If you try to do a little better, all good, you'll pick yourself back up. Start again. If im lo se'tiv, this is in Parak Dalet, Voracious, Parak Dalet Pasuk Zayin. If you don't try to do better, you know what's going to happen? Lepesach chatas rovitz. Sin is crouching at the door. Avera goreres avera. One sin is going to lead to the next. So Rabbi Nachman taught us a tremendous technique for a Jew to be able to break, again, to break that cycle of negativity. To start over as many times as I need to. It's not some cute little trick that you're playing with yourself. It's an honest way for a Jew to believe in his ability to keep coming back to Hashem, and God never gives up on him. V'chol zman she'eino chazak b'dayto, she'tamid yimshoch atzma la'Hashem yisparach, b'chol ma she'yuchol, bein v'aliyah, bein b'yirida chas v'shalom. Afilu im tiyah ha'yirida chas v'shalom, eich she'tiyah, afal pichein yechazak v'amit b'dayto limshoch, l'shtokik, l'sgageya tamid elav yisparach. A person who has a strong commitment, meaning a person who's able to stay focused, a person who says, I want to be close to God. And I can say that honestly. I still make a lot of mistakes. I do a lot of really stupid things. There's a lot of areas of Torah that I'm not so good at. There's a lot of mitzvot that I don't do properly. But if you were to ask me, where am I trying to get to? What direction am I pointed? I'm pointed towards Hashem. And I'm mishtokik. I have a longing desire to be close to Hashem. I have ga'aguim, he says. I have, again, intense emotional desire to be close to Hashem. V'litzok, v'lispalel. And I want to talk to Hashem all the time. I want to get there. I really do. I really want to get there. I want to be able to serve God joyously. I saw a tzaddik one time, and I saw the way that he davened, and it just looking at him, I said, I want to be that. I want to experience that. I saw the way that tzaddik connected to Shabbos. Why don't I feel Shabbos that way? And I have, again, I'm pointed in the right direction. I want to get there. Afilu im hiyeh eich shiyeh. Even if it will be what it will be, meaning you're not there yet, not even close, and you've made some bad mistakes. Kol zman she'ein lo hischazkus hazos be'emes, yefshir lo liskar l'Hashem yisbarach be'emes. Until you make that commitment that I'm going to get there, no matter what, you're not going to get there. But if you're like Rabbi Nachman who says, I'm going to get there, and if I have to start over 100 times a day, I'll start over 100 times a day. I am never going to give up on my mission, which is what? To be close to Hashem, be'emes, to be an ish kasher. I did something which is repulsive in the eyes of God. It's very far from the way a nice Jewish boy, you know, acts. Okay, so I start again. I hit the reset button and I start again. Okay, final paragraph. V'kol kach utzarech l'eschazek ad shu muchrach lios merutza la'avodas Hashem tamid kol yemei chayav al menas shalo l'kabal pras. You know what an indicator of a person who's really in it for the right reasons is? He says, a person who develops, again, an inner strength and fortitude, that out of necessity he's going to serve Hashem, even if he doesn't get a reward for it. If you're still trapped in like your first grade or second grade, you know, schar va'onesh mindset, of it's all about accruing points and getting a big prize at the end, you trade in your tickets and you get to pick out a prize in Olam Haba, right? That has a place, that is an authentic way of serving Hashem, but that is not a mature way to serve Hashem. A mature way to serve Hashem is to serve Hashem shalom and as l'kabel pras. Not to do it for any prize. Yeah? Right, that's true. That's true. Schar v'onesh is one of the principles of our faith. We do believe in reward and punishment. And in Shema, you're saying we're basically making a deal with God. We're committed to loving you and serving you, and you're committed to giving us rain and to giving out prizes. It's true. Hashem does give out prizes. And there are Hashem does react to our choices, both in terms of reward and punishment. But what's my focus as an Eved Hashem? Did I marry my wife, right, for the fringe benefits of being married to her? Or I married her because I love her, and I'm committed to her, and I'm committed to our relationship? Happens to be, she made a delicious vegetable soup last night. That happens to be true. But how pathetic would our marriage be if I would say that was the reason I married my wife? Because I heard she makes awesome vegetable soup. That would be a tragedy. So it's the same thing here, right? The person who's really committed to the relationship says, even if I'm not getting any prizes, I just want to be connected to you. I want to have a relationship with you. So if I'm focused on prizes and I'm focused on punishments, so I mess up and I start to feel the weightiness of the punishment and I start to run away from Hashem because the whole thing becomes very uncomfortable. But if I believe that Hashem loves me, and I believe that I love Hashem, and I acknowledge the fact that as a human being with the Yetzer Hara, I make a lot of stupid mistakes, but I'm not going to ever take my eyes off of that destination of Kirvas Elokim. So then I keep trying, and I keep trying, and I keep trying, and I keep trying, and I keep trying. Ki lefamim nidme la'adam sherachuk shu yizkeh l'chai olam haba. Lefi godol hisrachus tomei Hashem yisbar. Sometimes the person feels like, I'm not even going to go to Olam Haba. I am so far from Hashem. Afal piche, nonetheless, says Rabbi Nachman, ye merutza lasos ma sheyucho b'avodas Hashem below olam haba. You should continue to serve Hashem. Okay, it's not about olam haba. Who says it's about olam haba? It's nice to get olam haba. And I assure you that Rabbi Nachman knew that kol Yisrael yeshlem chelik olam haba. Everyone goes to olam haba. But if you feel like I am striking out far too often, that doesn't negate the inner desire of a Jew to be close to Hashem. And it should never cause a Jew to stop thinking that he has a right to try again. Va'afilu im nira lo shiyel lo gehenim. Gam ken chas v'shol. And even if he feels not only am I not getting a prize, but I'm actually going to get quite a big punishment. Yiyeh eich shiyeh. Again, you see this lashon he likes to use. Whatever will be, yeah, ichshia. Whatever will be, hu mechuyev lasos es shalo tamir vavodas Hashem. You are obligated. Not only should you desire to do more and continue to serve Hashem, even if you got kicked out of olam haba, but you're obligated to do it. You're obligated to do so. That's an unbelievable idea to think about. A Jew can never escape from Judaism. You could do tons of averas and you're still obligated. The Rambam writes in a letter, the Rambam says that Yeravam ben Nevat. Who's Yeravam ben Nevat? Yeravam ben Nevat. Yeravam ben Nevat who led Klal Yisrael astray. Yeravam ben Nevat who set up Avodah Zarah throughout the land of Israel. Yeravam ben Nevat who's described by the Navi as Chotei Umachti, someone who sinned and caused others to sin. Yeravam ben Nevat who's the paradigm of wickedness. And yet, the Rambam writes in a letter, the Rambam says, Yeravam ben Nevat is not only going to have to answer for all of his big averas, Yeravam ben Nevat is going to have to answer for why he didn't follow the halachas of Erev Tavshilin when Shabbos and Yom Tov fall out side by side. Yeravam ben Nevat is going to have to answer, why didn't you put your right shoe on before your left shoe? So Yeravam ben Nevat is going to say back to God, God, I got bigger problems to worry about. I set up a Avodah Zarah throughout the land of Israel. And you want to know why when I put my shirt on, I put my left arm into my sleeve before my right arm? That's barely going to even register. And God says, that's not true. It does register. Just because you do big averas doesn't give you an exemption. It doesn't give you an exemption. You could be a machal Shabbos. You could be living with a shiksa. You still have to make shahakal on your coffee. You're not exempt just because you've chosen to do big averas. You still have to put your shoes on and shower and use the bathroom in accordance with the halachas at the beginning of the Shulchan Aruch. And that's a big chizuk. That's a big chizuk. That the things you do matter. That even if you do big averas, Hashem says, I'm still holding you accountable for the small averas. That means I'm still interested in the details of our relationship. So therefore, a person is mechuyev lasos as shalom. A person is obligated to do what he needs to do. You can't say, well, I struck out already. I'm going ahead of him, so I might as well just enjoy this world. A person needs to try to grab whatever he can in Avodas Hashem. Lasos es shalot tamid b'avodas Hashem kol ma sheyuchal lasos. Do whatever you can. V'lachtof eiz a mitzvah Torah utfil v'kiyotzei. Grab a mitzvah. Grab a word of Torah. Grab a word of tefillah. This is very much in line with the Lubavitch approach to putting tefillin on people, which some people are very against. How can this person wear tefillin? So Lubavitch says, how can this person not wear tefillin? He's a Jew. I don't care. So he's Machal Shabbos, and he's Ochel Nevelos Utrefos. But he's a Jew. He has a Jewish neshama. Yeah, but you're just going to chop a little tefillin on the side. Yeah, you're going to chop a little tefillin on the side. And how many people have been transformed by a little tefillin or a little Shabbos candles? A woman who lit a little Shabbos candles before she went to a treif restaurant with her boyfriend and to a movie. But how did those candles eventually change her life? So yes, a person has to lachtof, to grab. Grab up a mitzvah. Grab up a word of Torah. Grab up a tefillah. V'Hashem atov be'einav ya'asen. God will do what he wants to do. But I'm in it till the end. I'm sticking around. Uke'ein ma'ashe misaprim b'shem ha'Baal Shem Tov, zecher tzadik levarachah. There's a famous story about the Baal Shem Tov, and there's a similar story actually about the Magid of Mezrich that the Bnei Yisrael tells. Shapam achas nafal b'daito ma'od ma'od at shenid melo shebavadai lo hiya lo olam haba chas Hashem. Different nuschos of the story, the way it's brought here, is Baal Shem Tov one time had a chalishas hadas. He felt very, very down about something to the point that he really thought, I'm not going to get olam haba. I don't know what the Baal Shem Tov did, how the vibe we should have his averas. That would be great for us, I imagine. Yeah, but whatever. Lefi Madregos, so the Baal Shem Tov felt very depressed. This is it. I'm done. I'm losing my Olam Haba. So what did he do? He stopped being the Baal Shem Tov. V'lo hayu lo b'mal l'achayos es atmo klal. He didn't know how to restore his soul. He felt so down and depressed. I lost my Olam Haba. I'm ruined. So what did the Baal Shem Tov say to himself? V'omar, ani oev es Hashem Yisparach b'lo Olam Haba. What choice do I have other than to what? I'll continue to love Hashem even without Olam Haba. Baal Shem Tov was at that crossroad that so many Jews encounter. If the Baal Shem Tov has been there, you can imagine how many other people have stood at that crossroad. You know, should I just like give up and I'm not good at this, I'm not doing very well, so maybe I'll play a different game. I'll go out to the world and play by a different set of rules. Baal Shem Tov was at that crossroad, he felt like this is it, my Olam Haba, I'm ruined. Alright, so I'll love Hashem nonetheless. I'll love Hashem in Gehenna if I have to love Hashem in Gehenna. But that's an attitude of a person who's always willing to start over and always willing to believe that no matter whatever is, what will come will be, what happens happens, but I'm not going to drop out. V'chol adam afilu ish pashur iafshar lios ish kasher be'emes ki'im kishayachol lamod b'chol kanizkar le'el. You can't be an ish kasher, you can't be a good Jew until you acquire this attitude of again believing in your ability to start over again and again and again. Okay, I think we get the idea. And then Amir Tzor Hashem, he says, over the course of time, as you train yourself to start again and again, eventually, you'll get into good patterns, you'll get into good habits. To walk in the ways of Hashem, halavai, it should be so. In the Shivchei Aran, in source number 2, Shivchei Aran is the praises of Rabbi Nachman. It's usually printed with the Siyichel Saran. It says a very similar thing. I'm not going to read it inside right now, but you have it on the page in front of you. I once read, one of the tzaddikim explained, and it fits so beautifully with this idea. We start reading Parshas, the Parshas HaShavua. We started reading Lech Lecha this past Shabbos at Mincha. And we read a little bit of the Parsha, and we can't get the job done. We can't finish the Parsha. And then we come again Monday morning, and we read a little bit of the Parsha, and we just can't get it done. And then it comes Thursday. We try again. We can only get through the beginning of the parsha. We just can't finish the parsha. Finally, on the fourth try, after three strikes, after a chazakah of not being able to finish the parsha, we come Shabbos, we read the whole parsha. Gevaldik. That's built into the week, a reminder that try, and try again, and try again. And after the world declares three strikes, you're out, we try a fourth time, and that's dafka when it starts to go. That's when things start to work out. That's the yesod of Rabbi Nachman and Avodas Hashem. This is the cloud gadol of Avodas Hashem. That a Jew has to keep trying, keep trying, keep trying, keep trying. Mashpia Rav Weinberger, Shlita, told a story a couple months ago. He said there was a young man who came to Rav Shlomo Volbi, the great Mashkiach, and said to Rav Volbi that I keep striking out and I'm just like at a crossroad. He was at that crossroad that the Baal Shem Tov was standing at. I just don't know, like, should I keep trying again and again and again? So Rav Volbi said, bring me a sitter. Bring me a sitter. He brought him a sitter, and he opened up to Yehi Chavod, a pasuk in Mishlei, in source number 3 on the page in front of you. And Rav Volbi said, translate this pasuk. Rabos ma'achshavos b'leiv ish v'atas Hashem hisach. So the Bachar translated the pasuk. Rav Volbi said, here's how I read the pasuk. Let me tell you how I read the pasuk. Rabos ma'achshavos b'leiv ish. A person sometimes has all sorts of different thoughts. Should I try again? Should I not try again? Maybe I'm such a sinner that I'm not even obligated to try again. I'm just so far outside of, so far out of bounds that, you know, Hashem has given up on me on this point. Nothing I do matters at this point. So Rav Volbi said, when a person has all sorts of machshavos, pasuk in Mishlei, Rabos machshavos b'leiv ish, a person is grappling. Is it worth trying again? Am I just going to let myself down again? Am I going to let God down again? How many times can I try? V'atzas Hashem hisakum. What's the pashup shot in the pasuk? Right, the Atzas Hashem, the guidance of Hashem, right? Hisakum will take its place, will last. You have a lot of thoughts. Whatever God wants is going to be. That's the simple pshat in the pasuk. Right, you're deciding: is this a good investment? Not a good investment? Am I going to make a lot of money? Am I going to lose a lot of money? At the end of the day, the Atzas Hashem, whatever God wants, hitakum. That's what's gonna happen. That's the pashup shot in the pasuk. Rav Volbi said to this Ben Yeshiva who is struggling, he said, "I'll tell you how I read the pasuk. Person sometimes again is at that crossroad. He's trying to decide." Should I try again? Should I not try again? You know what the Atzas Hashem is? You know what Hashem's advice to you is? What's Atzas Hashem? What's God's advice? Takum. Pick yourself up. Takum. Pick yourself up. The, not just the advice of God will last. The advice of God is, get up. Why are you lying on the floor? Pick yourself up. I had mentioned this vart before Slichos this year. I heard it from Rav Weinberger. And just two Shabbosim ago, someone who davens with me Shabbos morning, who I daven with Shabbos morning, said the next pasuk is the exact same thing. What's the next pasuk we say in Yehi Chavod? Pasuk in Tehillim. Atzas Hashem la'olam tamur. So what's the pasuk pshat? The pasuk pshat is, again, God's decisions are the ones that are lasting. But you could also read it like Rav Albi read it. Atzas Hashem, you know what God's advice is? La'olam, you know what God's advice always is? Tamur, pick yourself up. Hashem's advice is pick yourself up. What other choice do you have? What other choice do you have? What other choice do you have other than to try again? The first Lanamer Rebbe was the author of the Sefer Yesod HaAvoda. First Rebbe of Slonim. Passed away in 1883. So he was sitting by a tish one time with the Chassidim. And he turns to one Chassid. Whoever turns to one Chassid, he says, how did you get here? You traveled from a far distance to get here. Tell the Chassidim how you got here. So he says, I came by horseback. So the Rebbe says, you hear? He came by horseback. So the Rebbe says, tell the Chassidim, and what would you have done if along the long journey you would have fallen off the horse? So he says, hey, I don't know, I'll get back on the horse. So the Rebbe says, and what if you traveled on a little more and you fell off the horse again? I'd get back on the horse. I'm trying to get to the Rebbe. And what happens if you fell off the horse a third time? I get back on the horse. And a fourth time? Rebbe, I'd get back on the horse. What do you want me to do? Sit on the floor and just mope and feel bad for myself? I'm trying to get to the Rebbe. You fall off the horse, you get back on the horse, and you come to the Rebbe. So the Rebbe says to the Chassidim, you hear this? This is a klal gadol in avodas Hashem. If you're trying to get somewhere, you have to. What choice do you have? You fell off the horse. What are you going to do? You sit there in the mud? You sit there just feeling bad for yourself? Get back on the horse and try again. And the Rebbe said, there's no other way. There's no other option. What's the other option? To just sit there? What's the option? Okay, so you had a bad night. So you wake up the next morning. What are you going to do? You're just going to sit there in your bed feeling bad for yourself? Pick yourself up and start again. Sheva yipol tzaddik v'kam. The tzaddik falls seven times and he gets back up. Rav Kuttner has a famous explanation. It's not on the page in front of you. But Rav Yitzchak Kuttner, the Pachad Yitzchak, in his famous letters, in letter 128, he talks about gedolim aren't born gedolim. Tzaddikim weren't born tzaddikim. They worked on themselves. And Rav Kuttner writes in that famous letter, number 128, he says, foolish people interpret the pasuk, listen to this, sheva yipol tzaddik v'kam. The tzaddik got up despite the fact that he fell seven times. Rav Kuttner says that's how the tipshim read the pasuk. A person who's a deep Jew understands, not despite falling seven times, you got back up. It's through the falling that a person learned how to get oneself up, how to become who I become. It's not, oh, despite the fact that he messed up so many times, he became, in the end, he was a good Jew. No. It was through that experience, the ups and downs, that he dafka became a good Jew. It's not despite the fact that he fell, he became a good Jew. It's because he fell. That's built into reality. That's how the game works. There's no one who doesn't fall. Ein tzaddik baretz shiyasa tov lo yechta. There's no one in the world, says the pasuk. There's no tzaddik in the world who doesn't fall. Everyone falls. The little list in Maseches Shabbos and Daf Nun Hei of people who never did an Aveira are not so famous. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, David, Shlomo, none of those tzaddikim are on the list. There's a list in Maseches Shabbos. You'll take a look on Daf Nun Hei. People who never did sins in their life. They're not the most famous people. They're not our biggest rebbes. It's the ones who struggled and became the Avram and the Yitzchak and the Yaakov, despite the fact that Avram was an Oved of Avodah Zarah, despite the fact that Avram Avinu was a Ben Nida, which means that his mother had not gone to the mikvah, the Gemara says, before she became pregnant with Avram. Being born a Ben Nida is not a particularly good thing, according to Chazal. And Avram overcame all of that, and the Pasuk says about him, or alluded, if I'm not mistaken, the Pasuk says, Mi yitain tahor mitame. Who could bring something so pure from something so unholy? And Chazal says that's a reference to Avram Avinu. Growing up in a society of Avodah Zarah, Lech Lecha Me'artzecha, had to overcome all of his nature, to recreate himself, to be born again, That's Avram of... I'll tell you a nice remiss. What's this week's parsha called? Lech Lecha. What's next week's parsha called? Vayera. Those are the two main parshios of Avram Avinu. Lech Lecha and Vayera. What's the gematria of Lech Lecha plus Vayera? No, Yehuda?
Avram.
What's the gematria of Lech Lecha? How much is Lech Lecha? Lech Lecha is 100, right? Lech Lecha is Lamed Chaf is 50 plus 50, 100. Vayera, Vav Yod Resh Aleph is 217. So 317. What's 317? 317 is Gematria? Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu is 317. So Lech Lecha Vayera, the Parshios, Lech Lecha Vayera, which are the Parshios of Avram Avinu, of Avram's 10 tests, the names of the Parsha, Lech Lecha plus Vayera, is Gematria Avram Avinu. It's a nice remiss. No, so what choice does a person have? Pick yourself up, get back on the horse. Sheva Yipol Tzadik, you became a Tzadik because he fell seven times and he didn't give up. Rabbi Nachman was a super duper Tzadik. You know why? Because Rabbi Nachman was honest enough to say, I start again and I start again and I start again. He was so focused on getting there that nothing in the world would shake him from his mission. The Chazan Ish. We look at the Chazan Ish as a pretty perfect Jew. Right? And the Chazan Ish was certainly not a Hasidish Rebbe, but the Chazan Ish really knew how to be Mechazik Yidden. Really, really knew how to sit with a Jew and make them feel a lot better. So I saw an unbelievable story in the second volume of the Maisa Ish, which is like a biographical, one of a multi-volume set biography of the Chazan Ish. It's in source number 5 on the page in front of you. Ben Torah Echad Kiba Alav Kabbalah Shal Chizuk L'Shipur Matzavo. This is good Mar Cheshvan Torah, Chavra. After all the commitments we made to Hashem on Yom Kippur, and we're falling apart, ever so slightly, right? It's good to remind ourselves, start again. So there was a Ben Torah who accepted upon himself certain things to better his ways. B'tchilas hayom hayamaschil gavala. He would start every day on a very high level, very strong. B'meshech hayom hayayored. And then, over the course of the day, he'd have a yerida. U'v'sof hayom hayamitztar shalo amad b'kabalosav. And then at the end of every day, he felt like a loser because he wasn't able to keep up his kabbalas. He started off high, then he would fall down low, and he would end his day feeling depressed. And this was a cycle. He'd start again the next morning, he'd try again, start off really great, eventually fall apart, and end the day feeling like, ugh, I can't get through one day without falling apart. So he came to the Chazan Ish. Hu nichnas el Chazan Ish v'sha'al. Came to the Chazan Ish and he asked him, Ma la'asos v'matzav kazeh? What am I supposed to do about this? This is a very frustrating way to live my life. Intense highs, very deep lows, and just the feeling that it's just not adding up. I'm not getting anywhere. So you know what the Chazan Ish said to him? Gevaldik line. Chazan Ish said, fourth line, Hey Shiv, lo Rabbeinu. Chazan Ish responded to him, Tam Shich lahaschil gavala, Tam Shich lariades, v'tam Shich litzar. Continue to start off high. Continue to mess up because you're a human being. I continue to be disappointed that you messed up, but start again. What are you supposed to do about it? What are you supposed to do about the fact that you're a human being? You're a Ben Torah, so you have aspirations. You're a human being, so you mess up. You feel bad because that's part of tshuva. So do it again. So try again. What are you even asking? Right? With the Chazan Ish understood that eventually, if you just keep trying, Sheva Yipol Tzadiv comes, sometimes it's 7 times, sometimes 7,000 times, before eventually you stand on your feet, and you're able to hold your own. But if you're going to drop out and sit on the floor as your horse goes to sit by the tish of the Slonim Rebbe, as you're sitting there in the mud, that's very chaval. That would be a great tragedy. It's an amazing line. Tam Shich Lasuvim, continue to start high, continue to fall apart, right? La Redes, yeah? Reish Dalit Tuf, that's Gematria Mar Cheshvan, 604. Mar Cheshvan's a time of Yerida, Tei Reid. Mar Cheshvan's a time when things are on the downswing. No? So start again. So keep trying. There's no point of sitting in the dirt. I'll tell you another amazing story about the Chazan Ish. There's a Jew in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Aryeh Schechter, who's a Chavrus of Rav Chaim Kanievsky for 10 years, which gives you a little bit of a sense of the type of Jew he was. He was a Talmud of the Chazan Ish. He printed some of his Savim a little while back called Aryeh Sha'ag. So he told the story about when he came to visit the Chazan Ish 2 weeks before the Chazan Ish passed away. Listen to this. He came to the Chazon Ish. He knocked on the front door. There was no answer. He was nervous. Wanted to make sure his Rebbe was okay. So he went around back. He went around back, and he sees that the Chazon Ish is lying. The Chazon Ish was a very weak, very sickly person his whole life. He sees the Chazon Ish is lying on his porch. He's out back on the porch. And the way to get to the Chazon Ish, there's a big fence. There's a wall. There's a fence blocking him, separating him from the Chazon Ish. So he said, his Rebbe calls out to him. He says, Arye. He says, yes, Rebbe. He says, climb the fence. Now, Arye Shechter at the time, he said, I was wearing my hat. I was wearing my jacket. Like, I wasn't exactly in, you know, fence climbing gear. I didn't have my sneakers on. So he says, climb the fence. So he starts climbing the fence. His hat fell off. His jacket got caught. Fell down. He said, finally, after 5, 6, 7 tries, he finally made it over the fence. So he said, the Chazon Ish looked at him and he smiled. And he said, this was, Arye Shechter said, this was the Chazon Ish's dying message to me. He died 2 weeks later. He said, the Chazon Ish was telling me, and he said to me, after I finally climbed the fence, like, Rebbe, why, like, what was, you know, maybe I could have gone around and come through the front door. So he says, Arye, I wanted to teach you that a Jew has to keep climbing. And a Jew has to keep trying. And your hat might fall off and your jacket might get knocked off. You might scrape your knee. But a Jew has to keep climbing and never give up and keep climbing. And he saw that was the Chazon Ish's message to him. This dying message to him. A Jew has to try and try and try. Ein shum yesh v'olam klal. A Jew has to keep trying. And never ever surrender. In the Torah's Avos, which is a collection of Torahs, in source number 6, from the tzaddikim of Lechovich and Kobrin and Slonim, it says an amazing teaching from Ramosh of Kobrin. If you learn the Sefer Nesiva Shalom, then maybe you've seen this line before. It's a very powerful line. Mi she'eina yachol. He writes in source number 6, it's from Rav Moshe of Kobrin. Mi she'eina yachol, u'mesugo lamod b'tfila. If you can't go to mincha, gam achrei she'avar v'nichshol ba'averos chamuros shebetorah. If you're not able, having just done a big avera, yeah, you just committed a big avera. If you can't, 5 minutes later, walk into the Beis Medrash because it's mincha time, and daven a real mincha. Ulishpoch sicho gam oz lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to pour out your heart, kabena mischate al aviv, which was an expression that we saw a couple pieces back in Sichos Aran, like a child who's begging his father, who's pouring out his heart before his father, va'osa lo ritzono, knowing that his father wants to do his desire, adayin lo darach, not derach, darach, right, like to trample upon, to step upon. You haven't even, what? Stepped on the threshold of Chassidus. You know, the first thing about Chassidus, and there were other tzaddikim who took this line and said, not only that, you don't know the first thing about Judaism. If you don't believe that it's possible for you to try again, if you don't believe that 5 minutes after doing a really disgusting and low avera, I can walk into shul and sit down and start learning. Now again, no one's encouraging this, right? This is where someone like really doesn't get it. What's Rabbi Nachman saying? He's encouraging you to do averos and then just do mitzvos right after. Does that sound like a little bit strange? Of course it's a little bit strange. You're supposed to do mitzvos and more mitzvos and more mitzvos. But if you feel unworthy of davening a heartfelt mincha because you're so bad, you're so busy thinking, ugh, what I did 10 minutes ago makes me unworthy of mincha, then you don't know the first thing about Chassidus, and you may not know the first thing about Judaism. You don't understand that tshuva was kodem la'olam. A tshuva was one of the things Hashem had in mind when He created the world before there was even a world. So there's always a possibility of a Jew starting over. And therefore the goal becomes, like Rabbi Nachman explained again, to not allow a pattern of negativity to be created. Let's learn a very important yisod in tshuva, in source number 7. It is from the Sefer Avodas Pnim. Avodas Pnim was also a Slonimer Chassid from Tveria. And he writes in his section on tshuva, just give me a little bit of insight, in source number 7. Okay, no, not that I know of. Not that I know of. Over Adam Avera, Vishonaba, Nasas Lokahatr. He says there's a Gemara in Meseches Yoma that tells us that if a person does an Avera and he repeats it, it becomes permitted to him. So the Gemara says, what? Permitted? If you have a pattern of sin, then all of a sudden you're allowed to do it? So the Gemara says, no, not that you're allowed to do it, but he starts to convince himself, like, he gets accustomed to it to the point that it's not a big deal. He gets used to it. He doesn't see it as being a big deal anymore. The first time he did the crime was, whoa, I felt really badly about that avera. Says the Gemara in Yoma, Pevav Mebeis, when you repeat the avera, all of a sudden it becomes something that you're comfortable with. You get used to it. It doesn't shake you the same way. So So says the Avodas Panim, and it's very similar to what Rabbi Nachman was telling us. Nirasha zed dafka kishalo nischarid bintayim. Why is it so important to do tshuva right away for an avera? That's what we explained before. Because you don't want your averas to become compounded. You don't want to establish a pattern of sin. It'll make it much more difficult to break that pattern. He says, when do we say that one avera and a second avera, all of a sudden you start to think it's not a big deal anymore? That's only if you don't break it by having charata, by having regret in the middle. Avalim asa tshuva v'nischaret, but if you do tshuva in the middle and you have regret, ain mitstarfin, then the two averas are not linked to one another. V'inyan nasa lo keheterhu, and this idea of when I do a pattern of averas, it becomes permitted. She'ein lo herhurei tshuva alza. Is because I haven't broken up that negative, that series of negative choices with a positive choice, with a positive thought. Look how he describes it. It's a very powerful image. I'll help you remember it. When you do an avera, what happens? A small wall, a small divider is placed between you and Hashem. Now that wall might be made out of, you know, a piece of paper. Paper thin, but you can't see God as clearly as you could have, or as you did before the sin. There are holes in the wall. You're still able to peek through and still see Hashem, but you can't see Hashem as clearly before the Avera. What happens if you do another Avera? So then another small divider comes down. The wall thickens, he says. Right? He says, "Mipnei she'ein Yehudi osa aver b'lev shalim." The first wall doesn't have, it has holes in it, because you never did the Avera with all your heart. Velibo nokfa, when his heart was pained by it. So the wall that's being built from your sins, it's a flimsy wall. But it's obscuring your connection to Hashem a little bit. He says three lines from the bottom of the right column. When you do that aveira again, so now the wall gets what? A little more firm, a little thicker. It could just be another piece of paper, but it's harder to rip two pieces of paper than it is to punch a hole through one piece of paper. Vishuv ein libo shavar bekirba. Now you start to really convince yourself that God is very far from you. Vizeo nasa lo keheter, and that's what it means, nasa lo keheter. You're constructing a wall to the point where you just feel like, how could I can't walk through walls. Why would God expect me to be close to him? What does he want me to do? I can't. If you would have punched a hole through that first wall, that first little divider between you and Hashem, right, then you wouldn't have ever gotten into this pattern. But because you allowed the averas to be compounded, you didn't do tshuva in the middle. You didn't take Rabbi Nachman's advice to heart to start over right away. You just allowed things to coast along. So by the end of the day, you had 10 averas in a row, and now it's much harder to break that pattern. It's much harder to break that cycle. So we always try to keep our averas to be our first avera. That's how we say in the Slichos, Ma'avir Rishon Rishon. Right? That's not just that Hashem is Ma'avir Rishon. We have to be Ma'avir Rishon. You do one avera, be Ma'avir, get rid of it. Clean it up quickly. So it doesn't become a bigger mess. Yes, Yehuda.
It's a pretty bit of pitch. I feel like a lot of times we can feel like if we go right after that Hashem to say sorry, it's like sheepish. Like,
right.
Like give it a while. Like let it cool down.
So right.
Long, no?
Like, right. It's like a person who's momish, you know, apologizing as they're right. Punching someone in the face. I'm sorry for punching you in the face.
Sorry.
Like maybe come back. Right.
Right. So it's a thing.
I hear. And it just goes to show, again, how much Hashem loves us and how badly Hashem wants us to be close to him, that he's willing. You're right. From our perspective, from the human perspective, it seems almost like, you know, gross. Like, what? How, you can't just turn around and walk into the base measure after doing that. But Hashem says, trust me, I'm big enough. Your avera is not so big. As big as it is, compared to the infinite God, it's not so big that, like, our relationship can't be restored. And that's what we're trying to overcome. We're trying to overcome that human response, which is, I messed up, so now is not the right time to start fresh. I'll try again next week, next year, next month, whatever it is. Yes, all right.
So on a practical level, do you do teshuva first and then start over, or do you start over and then do teshuva?
Right. Presumably, the way we're learning here in the Avodas Panim is try to do an act of teshuva, right? That's part of the restart. Teshuva means getting back to the start. So teshuva is the way that we push the restart button. By feeling regret, by expressing a desire, like Rabbi Nachman said, from this point forward, I'm going to be an ish kasher, to declare, I'm never going to do it again. Right? And I start fresh. So tshuva is the restart button. Yeah, Yoni.
The other 317 also fits very well with this.
Yes, it does. We're not going to go there right now. Yes, Elliot. That's true. It does.
Just like it says, Rosh Hashanah, by Maver Shoreshon, the first sin is overlooked by Hashem.
Right. Correct.
The rest of the sins are in Sekhedo.
Right.
It's really the redoing this Dom.
Correct.
By Hashem.
So it's one of the first pieces we learned last year.
It's already redone.
Correct. 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 Okay, let's end with a little bit of Musar from Maseches Bava Kama, from our Masechta. I had an unbelievable Hashgacha Pratis last night. It's kedai to share. I had heard this Vart from Rav Belsky, and I knew that it was in the biography somewhere. I had read like the first 150 pages of the Art Scroll biography of Rav Yisrael Belsky. And last night at about, I don't know, 9 o'clock, I decided I really want to put this Vart into this year. But I didn't know where it was in the book. It's like a 500-page book. So I figured I'll go, okay, when I finally get, my daughter wasn't feeling well last night, it was like a very balaganish night. I finally went to Maariv at 11 o'clock. I came back from Maariv at 11:15, and I sat down with that bowl of vegetable soup that I mentioned earlier, 11:30-ish, time for dinner. And I figured, okay, I'm going to start, I said, I need this Vart. It's such a good Vart. I have to find it. If I have to sit for 2 hours with the book to find this Vart, I'm going to find it. And I've been thinking about this bar for like the last couple of hours, and I need to find this Rebelsky bar, and I don't know where it is in the Sefer. I came back from Maariv. I sat down with my Rebelsky biography, a bowl of chicken soup and a spoon, and a pen, and I took out my phone for a second just to see if I had missed anything, and I had a picture from Rabbi Kolinsky of this Vart from the book. He's like, I had heard this great Vart. I just wanted to share it with, you know, he put it in like one of our rabbi chat groups. And I was like, you just saved me 3 hours. And Hashem answered my tefillah. Isn't that cool? I was so excited. But it was cut off. I was like, wait, what page is it on? Please tell me. I need to see it inside. So Rabbi Yisrael Belsky was the Rosh Yeshiva of Torah Vadas, passed away 2 years ago, 2016. He was a big posek at the OU, one of the head poskim for the kashrus division of the OU. And Rabbi Belsky explained the Gemara in Am Masechta. Really an amazing Gemara. Listen to this piece of Gemara, source number 8. You have two people who are walking on the road, and one of them falls down. And the second person gets injured by the first person. What's the halacha? Says the Mishnah where it's bolded, HaRishon Chayiv B'Nizkei HaSheni. You have two people carrying heavy things. The first one trips, he falls down. The second guy trips over him. The first one who tripped, the first one who fell, has to pay for the damages that occurred to the second person who tripped over him. Says the Gemara, in the third line in source 8, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Tema Masnisen Rabbi Meirhi, the Amr Nitko Posheyahu V'chayev, El Afil L'Rabbanan. Now we don't know the Machlokas Rabbi Meir and Rabbanan, but Rabbi Yochanan is saying, we could even explain the Mishnah according to the Rabbanan, the Amri Onesu Upater, who would say that in some situations it wasn't his fault and he should be exempt. So why does the Mishnah say that the first one, he fell down, why should he have... He didn't make a hole in the middle of the street. He didn't light a fire. Wasn't sure. Bore him out of heaven. The poor guy fell down. And someone else tripped over him. Why isn't that onus? Why isn't that something that's beyond his control? It's not his fault. Answers the Gemara. What's the Mishnah talking about? You know why he's held accountable? Look at this line. Where it's bolded. Shahaya lo lamod velo amad. He should have gotten up. He had the chance to get up. And he didn't get up. Said Rabbi Yisrael Belsky. We all have our ups and downs, our good days and our bad days. A person is not held accountable for experiencing a downturn in his effort or enthusiasm in avodas Hashem. That's life. We all trip. Everyone falls down. But when are you chayev? That's onus. You stumbled. It's human. It's normal. It happens. When do we say that you're chayev? Someone else trips over you and now you have to pay for their damages? It's not my fault. I fell. It says the Gemara, Shahaya lo lamud v'lo amud, but he should have picked himself up. Why didn't he get up? Why was he lying there on the floor? Says Rebelsky is an amazing lesson in the Vodas Hashem. It is his responsibility to seek ways to remedy the situation, to regain the spiritual momentum that he has temporarily lost. He cannot sit back and wait for the magical schmooze that will inspire him to be better, or some other instant solution. The tzaddik will fall 7 times but will arise, like we mentioned earlier. If one does not make the effort to arise, to get back up, he will be held accountable. Shahayi lo lamod v'lo amar. You're only held accountable if you stay there lying on the floor. But if a person hits the reset button, like Rabbi Nachman is describing here, and all these tzaddikim are describing here, right, so then a person comes back to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and eventually, Rabbi Nachman said, that was his closing bracha, eventually a person will establish a pattern of great success. So Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us the courage and the confidence to realize it's not you're going to achieve your mission in this world despite the fact that you messed up. It's your whole attitude towards messing up. For Shlomo Volbe said, if you look at a heart monitor, right? If it's a flat line, that means the person's dead. If it has ups and downs, that's a sign the person's alive. That's life. Shlomo Volbe said. The ups and downs are what makes life life. Rebelsky, all these tzaddikim, they're not just trying to make us feel better. They're being honest with us. This is life. There are ups and there are downs. But the avoda is to make sure they don't lie there on the floor. Shahayilo lamod v'lo amar. If you pick yourself back up, then Amir Tzashem will achieve great success in your avoda session. All right, Yashur Koyach. We're so lucky we have such a Rebbe. Ashreinu Shiyasun Rebbe. Rebbe Nach. We're doing some reservations about getting back into it, but I'm so happy we're doing it. So good. Okay, Shkoyach.